Ruth chapter 12 and the 26th verse. Again, I ask there be no moving around at a certain part of this service when we will turn the lights out. I want you to shut the doors at that moment. Until then, we get a little ventilation here. We appreciate it very much. Hebrews chapter 12 and the 26th verse. Again, we ask no moving in and out during the sermon. I appreciate it very much. Hebrews chapter 12 and reading the 26th verse. Whose voice then shook the earth. But now he had promised, saying, yet more I will not shake the earth only, but also the heaven. And this word yet once more signifies the removing of those things that are not shaken, as of things that are made, that those things which cannot be shaken may remain. Let us pray. Heavenly Father, for the next few minutes, I pray that you'll give to us the anointing of the Holy Spirit. I pray, dear God, that you'll reach down and touch the lives of people. Open their hearts. Give us an open mind, Lord. For what I'm speaking of tonight is not my words. Although they will be shaking, help people realize that it's not sensationalism we're speaking about. I am merely revealing to them what is in the Word of God. For, Lord, you cared enough that you warned us. You cared enough that you spoke very pungently, Lord, and very dynamic and even shaking about what was going to happen and the signs that would point to your coming. I pray now, God, that you'll give to us divine wisdom and anointing as we bring this sermon. In Jesus' name, amen. My message this morning is entitled, Earthquake. The Bible tells us that in the last days that we would see things that would point to the coming of the Lord Jesus Christ. You see, the Lord said in His Word, I would not have you ignorant, brethren. Although the Bible says that the Lord comes as a thief in the night, and although it's true that the Bible said that no man knows the day nor hour that the Son of Man comes in the glory, the Bible does tell us that there are certain signs that would take place that would tell us that Jesus is about to come. In other words, when you come from Muscatine to Davenport, when you're far away, there's a lot of signs and they're far apart. But the closer you get, the more signs you see. And as you approach Davenport city limits, the signs become bigger and closer together. And so it is upon this road to heaven. The closer we come to the coming of the Lord, the more signs appears saying Christ is about to come. They get faster and closer together. It is true we do not know the day. But it's kind of like childbirth. A doctor can say to a woman, you're going to have a child in 9 months. He can tell her about the month and maybe even the week. But not the hour nor the time. But I think we're all aware, by the way she looks, that something unusual is about to happen. The signs point that something's going to take place in that lady's life. And so it is today. There's a feeling in the air around the world. We see things taking place. Even commentators now are saying, unusual things are taking place. And what are some of the signs that the Bible said would take place before Christ would come back to earth again? He said that in the last day, there would be a rise of spiritualism and ism. 1 Timothy chapter 4 and verse 1. Now the speaketh speak of the Spirit. The Spirit speaketh expressively. That in the latter times, some shall depart from the faith, giving heed to seducive spirits and the doctrines of the devil. Did you know that our nation is full of devil worship today? Did you know it's not only happening in San Francisco and New York City or New Orleans? Are in Chicago. But as you know, even the smallest hamlets of our nation, Satanism is a big thing today. You realize that America today now has been invaded by far eastern religions who deny the deity of Jesus Christ. Even TM itself is a form of eastern pagan religions on which they deny the deity of Christ. And if you would ask the Maharishi what he thinks of Christ, he would say, he's a good man. He has some of the truth. But the Bible said if a man does not believe that it's the whole truth, then the Bible says that that man's salvation is in danger. I'm not going to put his name out, but maybe you remember one of the candidates for president. And you know they're all religious now. I heard him make a statement about there's one thing that bothers him in the Bible that he has a hard time believing and accepting. Watch out, mister. Your salvation is in danger. This word is the word of God. Can you say a good amen? The B-I-B-L-E, the kids say.
It's the book for me. I stand alone on the Word of God. The B-I-B-L-E. Satanism rising in our own city. Thank God. There was a lady here saved 2 weeks ago in our church. One of the heads at one time. One of the leading witches. I hate to use her name because she didn't look like a witch now. One of the leading witches in our city. Giving up her idols. She said, I must bring you my old scrapbook. Many of you heard her on radio and television. Give the forecast and give the astronomy report or the, I'm using the wrong word, what do you call it? Astronomer, thank you. I guess I was right after all. Thank you, Mother. You keep me straight down there in the second row. Amen. And therefore, right here in our own city, burning up their old witchcraft idols, burning up their winning souls now, already on Tuesday and Thursday night. Can you say a good amen? The Bible said in the last days that nations would rise against nations and kingdom against kingdom. The Bible said wars and rumors of wars. Never have we heard so many wars and rumors of wars we do today. All the way from Beirut to Korea to Vietnam to Ireland, down in the southern part of the United States. Wars and rumors of war. And the Bible said when they cry that, men will begin to cry peace and safety. We hear them crying peace in NATO. They're crying peace in the United Nations. They're crying peace in Beirut. They're crying peace in Israel. They're crying peace in Egypt. They're crying peace in Korea. Peace! But the Bible said that when they cry peace, then sudden destruction shall come upon the earth. Don't lift your hopes when you hear the Russians say, we want to live in coexistence. Let us all live together and ground our implements of war, the sword, into a pruning shear. No. Don't you draw hope from that statement. The Bible said, when they say peace, then sudden destruction shall come upon the earth. The Bible said that in the last days there would be famine on the land. I have traveled around the world 6 times to India on 6 different occasions. I have seen men in that country old that did not know what it was like to have 1 full meal a day. I have seen men who eat the bark off of the trees, and some of our Christians gather up the seeds off of the grass to make a little porridge. They know what starvation is like. I have walked down certain streets in India and seen the hundreds, even thousands, begging, and little children pulling at my coattail with their baby sisters starving in their arms saying, no food, no mama, no papa, give us food. When your heart would break and you couldn't sleep at night, I have watched them in India sleep in the open streets. This is no exaggeration. There are streets in Bombay and Calcutta and the major cities of India that at night you cannot even walk down. They have blocked them off. They lay one right after another to get across. You have to literally climb over the bodies, and in the night, a truck will come by the next morning and pick up those who have died on the street and carry them to the burning ghettos where they'll be burned and cremated. That's what it's like in Asia. Yes. Ask any authority upon the food problem in America. They will all tell you, none give us hope, that in the 1980s we will see our children starve in America and beg on the street in the 80s. You read any survey, and I challenge you, bring me one that doesn't show, and I'll believe it. They say there is no hope to solve the food shortage, and yet we all don't believe it. I don't even believe it. But they say the battle was lost. 50, 100 years ago, the battle is lost. We will not be able to feed the world. Famine is ahead. Maybe a few countries like this might get by easier. And the Bible said in the last day there would be famine. The Bible said in the last day there would be pestilence and fearful sights. Did you pick up Time magazine the other day and see the picture on the front of it? How many saw that? Great big insect. The article said it is now maybe called the age of the insect. They pointed out that there are insects coming across this land and which there's no insecticides for. They say that soon America may be plagued with things they never knew existed. Literally eat up all that we've got in the ground. And the Bible said in the last day there would be pestilence in our old world. In the Word of God it tells of a final battle, are you listening to me, that will be fought. This will be the end time battle that points to the end of time. In this Bible, the Bible says that Israel and Britain and the common market will all line up on God's side. On the other side, it says Russia, Turkey, East Germany, China, Egypt, Iran will line up on the other side. Did you know that every single one of these nations are already lined up for the end time battle? Not one of them would have to change their alliances right now. And when that battle takes place, it's too late. If you're here to see that battle, it's too late for you, my friends, because the Bible said, when you see these things come to pass, because before that final battle, the Lord is coming back to earth again. And we're ready for the Bible. Bible scholars for years wondered why Germany could be divided in two, because the Bible said the old Roman Empire would have to split East and West Germany. And Europe would have to be in one alliance, dividing East and West Germany before the end time battle under the old Roman Empire revived. But after World War II, where did they divide Germany? They divided her right down the line where Bible prophecy said she would have to be by. I've talked to you in times past about the oil shortage. I have told you there's going to be a battle that will be fought right there in the Middle East along the Euphrates and the Nile River. Right there in desert territory. I told you that civilization will return to that spot and make it the most important in the world. And agnostics have said, who would want a worthless piece of sand in a desert? We all know now why. The richest pool of oil in the world is found in that little desert place of Arabia. Now we know why the Arabs and Israel will fight. Now we know why the Bible said in the last day, Israel would become a nation, and she's a nation now. And most of us have seen her become a nation in our lifetime. But strange things are taking place in the Middle East. The Euphrates River, with all of its water, is, are you listening to me, drying up. And scientists say they cannot understand why the Euphrates is drying up, but I can. Because the Bible says, and the sixth angel shall pour out his vial on the great river Euphrates. I will talk more about this next week. And the water will be dried up. One of the great rivers of the world is literally dried up, and scientists cannot understand it. What's happening? I'll tell you why. Jesus is about to come back to earth again. Why is it drawing up? The scriptures say that the way of the kings of the east may be prepared. China, who is going to fight Israel, will need a way to get across the Euphrates River. And do you know that China is constructing a superhighway across six nations from the mainland of China to the Middle East? Why, a Time magazine recently asked the question, why are they building this highway? I'll tell you why. Because China is going to fight Israel. And so she's constructing that old highway right now. Congratulations, folks. I believe that you're going to be alive when Christ comes back to earth again. Congratulations, folks. I believe that Gabriel's wetting his lips right now. He's getting the trumpet all lifted up. He's getting it warmed up. Christ is about to come. Something else the Bible says. Recently, people in America looked in on the Phil Donahue program. Many of you might have seen that, the Phil Donahue show. When suddenly a talking image, now this happened, appeared before your eyes. And folks were amazed. Yet in Revelation chapter 13, the Bible tells us, in this seven-year period right after God calls us in the air, that there's going to be two leaders that rise. One will be political, and the other leader will be religious. The political leader will be known as the Antichrist. And the Bible says that he will set himself up as the Savior of the world. This religious leader, the Bible says, will build an image. And the Bible says he will give power to that image to speak. You are living in an age that you can conceive it will happen. With the coming of the computer, we're able to build mechanical mind. And America saw a mechanical mind, a mechanical machine, speak, carry on a conversation right on television before millions to be seen. And in Belgium, you've all heard about it by now, that three-story big building that houses the biggest computer in the world. A computer that will be, have the number of every one of you will have a number. I don't know where the number will be. Oh, yes, I do. The Bible said it'll either be on your hand or your forehead. It'll be a six-digital number. Everyone in this building will have to give an account. And you will not be able, the Bible says, to buy or sell, save the mark of the number of the beast is upon you. I told you a few months ago, they're predicting by the end of the year, 80% of the people will not be buying and selling unless they're doing it by check or paper or computer. Not weeks after that, I heard it, they're predicting that 80% of the American people by the end of the year may be writing checks instead of spending money. And you know, some places you go, you're almost insulted when you offer cash. You know as well as I do, you can't even rent a car. I remember when I could very easily, unless you have a credit card anymore. The computer has brought fulfillment to that possibility of the Word of God. Now, my friends, the Bible tells us that number that will be seen. You'll say a man wouldn't wear around a number on his head. I went with the kids. They'll give witness to this. Down to the Worlds of Fun last Tuesday. The kids had something stamped on their hand that could not be seen. But there was a number there. When they went out from the gate, they could get back in because they stuck it under some kind of infrared light. And suddenly the number would show up. They are saying, the only thing that's keeping everyone from having an invisible number now is an ink that will not wash off when it does. We will have that number someplace upon our body. And the Bible said, and he had power to give life to the image of the beast, that the image of the beast both speak and cause as many as would not to worship the image of the beast should be killed. And he caused both small and great, rich and poor, free and bond, to receive the mark in their hand or on their forehead. The old bankers don't realize it, but they are hastening the coming of the Lord Jesus Christ. One more. The Bible speaks in the last days that there will be a young man to arise. I don't know if he's a young man, but a man who will arise. I believe he's going to be young. The world will be in such chaotic condition, full of anarchy and grief and strife and rebellion and race riots, that suddenly the people will be willing to give up democracy and they'll want a dictatorship. They'll pray, send us a man to save us. Send us a... And there will arise a man upon the scene with such charisma that people will flock to him. You don't think that could ever happen, but let me prove it can. President Kennedy would have never been elected the President of the United States, it is said, if he were not allowed to get on television with Nixon and debate. Unknown, we never heard of him before, but suddenly he had charisma. People moved to him because of his charisma. We've seen it right now. An unknown by the name of Jimmy Carter, who came from nowhere. I call him Governor Davis. Remember that not too long ago? And suddenly he's a man with charisma, a man with polish, a man that people seem to flock to, suddenly as thrust it into respect in our country. That makes us to know that a man could arise with charisma, who had the answer to all world's problems, who brought peace to the world. You say, preacher, would never accept anybody that way. Henry Spank, President of the United Nations, recently said, send us a man who can hold all the allegiance of the people. And be he God or devil, we will receive him. The world is looking for his coming. But the Bible speaks in the last day there will become a shaking earthquake that will hit America. Earthquakes are powerful. I read the other day where the earthquake that was had in Alaska, are you listening to me? In 1964, it had the power of 10 million atomic bombs, the type that were dropped upon Hiroshima. Brother Men thinks that he's got a powerful bomb. But you don't know what power is until God begins to shake this earth. You talk about devastation. Back in 1556, there was an earthquake that killed 830,000 people. Since that time, there was one in Japan in the 1923, 140,000. Recently in Ecuador, a horrible with thousands and thousands of people killing. Some are estimating that in China, 100,000 people in this last few days could have been killed. In the great China earthquake. And the Bible predicts that in the last days there will be such earthquakes that take place in intensity. Did you know every 2 minutes they say there's some earthquake somewhere in the country? Did you know 15,000 people on average have died every year from an earthquake? Do you realize, my friends, there have been more earthquakes in the last 15 years, the Bible, they tell us scientists, than the record of the known existence before that time of earthquakes. For even old nature itself seems to be ready for the coming of the Lord. The Bible said there'll be mountains where there was valleys, and there'll be valleys where there were mountains. That seas will literally be removed and swallowed up. That's what's happening in our land today. The newspaper this morning told. They're expecting an earthquake any time, California. A horrible, intense one that will hit. The Bible said that in the last day there would be earthquakes in diverse places. The scriptures say, when you see these things come to pass, look up. For the scripture says, the trumpet of the Lord shall sound.
What a day that will be when my Jesus I shall see, and I look upon His face, the One who saved me by His grace. When He takes me by the hand and leads me to the promised land, what a day, glorious day, that it will be. What a day that will be
when I see the
a day, glorious day, that will be.
What a day. Oh, what a day that's going to be for those who know Jesus. We get to look in the face of Jesus, who we love so much. And to the Christian, that's going to be more glorious than heaven, to look in the face of Jesus. But to the sinner, it's going to be more horrible than hell itself. That thing that is more glorious to the Christian will be more horrible than hell. And that's to look in the face of a Jesus that died for them to save them, but they refuse. Oh, what a day. You talk about a day, that'll be the day. A day of sorrow and horror and screaming and misery in our streets. People crying for God, but there'll be no curb. It'll be the greatest missing person story that have ever hit the newspaper. Millions of people missing. It'll be the story. The greatest kidnapping story that the world has ever known of babies. A mother caring for her tender baby. And suddenly, in a twinkling of an eye, what a day. Babies separated from their parents. Separation, anguish. We'll hear the screams rise from homes across America. The scream that was heard much in the days of Egypt when their babies were taken. But these babies will be taken to heaven, and it'll be eternal separation. It'll be the story of a husband who told his wife goodbye and she headed to church. Oh yes, he said goodbye many times to her. She told him about Jesus, but he laughed at her and said, that's something the preacher made up, or he'll have a job. Yeah, religion's for sickly, weakly women and cowardly men. But not for me, I don't need God. She bade him goodbye, and many times she left with tears, and he laughed and ridiculed her. But she's always been home by 11. But not tonight. He calls on the phone, has church let out, but the phone doesn't even answer. 2, 3, 4. The sun is coming up. It's almost 6. My wife's not home. He begins to cry in anguish. Where is she? But what he doesn't know is she'll never come. She's went to be with the Lord. What a day. The earth will be shaken that day. Heaven and earth will be shaken. Those things that were dear and meant much to us will be shaken. The old college professor, he used to stand before the class and ridicule and say, God's dead. Idle just a good piece of literature. And he's ridiculed and made fun of the preachers and told kids to give way to their own desires. Don't suppress their inner urges. Don't listen to things that have been held dear to you. God is dead. But when Jesus comes back, they're going to throw away all those old textbooks. Because in that textbook, he couldn't find anything about this day. No, he couldn't find anything about the missing babies. He couldn't find out where some of his students have gone. So he says, maybe I better read. And he gets out the Bible and he begins to read. And you know what he reads? He reads there's going to be missing people. He reads that there's going to be a shaking of the earth. He reads what's ahead. The water turned to blood. Anarchy, chaos. He reads of an influenza that will kill 1 out of 2 people in the world. He reads what's ahead of cancer gripping the lives of people according to the Word of God. He reads that demons from the pits of hell are going to be turned loose like fiery dogs. Actually sting men like himself. That's what the Word of God says. And that old professor that once told him God is dead, he's going to realize that God is. So you turn on your news to see what's happening. And there's the famous newscaster that you've liked so much. He's not so calm tonight. Folks, we don't understand it, but people are missing all of America, especially babies. The fundamentalists are saying that knew something about it. They're saying that maybe those fundamental Pentecostal people were right. Because they said it would be just like this. The news newspapers said Christ has come back to earth again. I don't know what's happening, but something has. And that old man who used to tell us all about it, that old newscaster that had all the answers, cynical as he was, now opens the Bible and says, here's what the Bible said. Draw your own conclusion. Maybe they're right, folks. And then he gives the news. Freeways are clogged. Wrecks. Planes are falling in fields all over America. Trains are crashing. Engineers cannot be found. Thousands of people are kneeling all around the building as far as you can see. They're kneeling, they're crying, they're begging. They're saying that it's too late. Jesus has come back. Yes. The biggest crowd West Side will ever have is the day that Jesus comes back. You talk about crying, travail, and begging. The Bible said that every knee is going to bow. Every tongue is going to confess. But that day, it'll be too late. Because they've come one day. One day too late.
And you came one day too late. One day too late.
I can see them as they come now.
Jesus came and you've been left behind to wait. Yesterday couldn't find time for Jesus on your mind. You finally came to call His name, but one day too late. I never thought I'd see the day when you came to kneel and pray. I never thought that I would see the church house filled to capacity, but outside the door there's more. Oh, I've never thought before. Oh, what a shame that Jesus came one day before. And you came one day too late.
Listen to it.
One day too late, Jesus came, and you've been left behind to wait. Yesterday you couldn't find time for Jesus on your mind. You finally came to call His name, but one day too late.
Your switchboard is going to light up. Mothers all over town, where's our bus kids? Where's Johnny? Where's he at? Did he go on the horse ride on the way home from church? Did they stop for a picnic? But it'll be one day too late. People, if the Bible is not true, then you don't have to believe this message. But if this Bible is true, what I've told you is true, plus screaming, weeping, gnashing of teeth, war, violence, crime, I could go on and on. If it's true, friends, this is going to be a horrible place, and that's why God gave Jesus to die. For the first time, I can't understand why He let Him die. I love you, but I wouldn't give my boy for you. But yet God knew the horrible place this is going to be when His light and His power is gone from this whole world. For Satan is going to be turned loose. If there's ever time you needed God, you better run to this altar. Don't let it be too late. People, we've been feeling something strange around this church for the past month.
We never prayed harder. We never seen God move greater. There's something in the air. I believe Jesus could come anytime. I don't think there's anything keeping him. Don't let it be till that day for you that you wait upon God. Every head bowed, every eye closed. Every Christian breathing a prayer. Turn on just a few house lights, not all of them, but just a few. When the lights come on, I don't want anyone to look about. Turn on one more row. And that'll be enough. I don't want any talking or please moving out of the building. No matter if you're on a bus route, you hang with me just a minute. In just a few minutes, I'm going to close this service. And I want to tell you something. God loves you, people. God was in this sermon. You know, I announced months ago I was going to preach it. Now listen to me. But something told me 2 weeks ago to postpone it. And I did. And this week, the worst earthquake in 12 years took place in China. Now, God didn't let the earthquake happen to make this sermon powerful, but God had me to postpone it. Knowing that people would wake up in this age. People, listen to me closely. Jesus is going to come. You better forget all your little doctrines, your little petty things. You better say, I'm not a Baptist or Methodist. If you need Jesus, you better hit this altar. Ask God to forgive you of your sins this morning. Just ask the little mother that lost her two children 2 weeks ago. And I don't mean to dwell on this, but I feel led to do it. She had no idea, those two ladies here today. Had no idea, that mother. That they'd walk out of here on Sunday morning, two children would be killed on Tuesday in a car wreck. The whole family was here. You should only know. There's probably been some things she'd done. She'd probably gone over and caressed them and loved them. And oh, people, if you knew Jesus is going to come today, what would you do? If you knew any minute he'd come, what would you do? Don't wait till it's too late. Every head bowed. Every eye closed. I'm about to close, but before I close, I'm going to pray. Just before I pray, I'm going to count to the number three to give you time to think it over. And when I come to the final number three, I want every man, lady, boy, girl to raise your hand here tonight who will say, Pastor, I'm not sure if I'd die, I'd be ready to meet the Lord. But I want to be ready. Preacher, I want to be ready. I'm going to count to three. I believe hands are going to go up all over this building. You may be a good church member. You may believe in God. You might have fooled a lot of people. But you know you're not right. I want you to put your hand up when I come to three and say, Preacher, pray for me, and I'm going to pray for you. Get ready. I believe hands are going to go up all over this building. Jibber, stop to thank God loved you so much that he even let this sermon happen. The very week of an earthquake to try to wake you up. He loves you so much that he's been having mercy on you when you didn't deserve it. Won't you love him enough to give your heart to Jesus? I'm going to count to three. Get ready to raise your hand. One, get ready to put your hand up when I come to three. No one is looking. Only God will see your hand. And I will see it too. When I come to three, if there's any doubt about your soul, if you're not sure you're ready to know Jesus, I want you just to put your hand up and down and say, Preacher, I'll be honest, I'm not sure I'm saved. If you're ashamed of God, you won't raise it. If you don't care about your family, that your decision will influence, you'll keep your hand down. But if you don't want it to be one day too late for you, if you want me to pray for you, if you love Jesus, when I say three, I want you to put your head up and say, Preacher, pray for me. From the left to the right, to the front, to the rear, husband, wife, boy, girl, what if Jesus was going to come today? What would you do? Everyone that wants Jesus, raise your hand right now and say, Preacher, pray for me. Put your hand up real high. Put them up. They're going up all over the building. Keep raising them. Keep raising them. They're still going up. Keep raising them. Keep raising them. Preacher, pray for me. Thank God. Come on, Dad. Mother. Husband or wife, throw away your pride. Oh, raise your hand. There are others of you need prayer. Put your hand up. Preacher, pray for me. I need Jesus. I need Jesus. Keep raising them. Keep raising them. Keep raising them. Keep raising them. Christians, keep praying. Hands are going up all over this building. Pray hard. Pray hard. Oh, I almost didn't preach this message. I thought, oh Lord, maybe they'll think we're just trying to scare them into it, people, but I'm not. I'm just trying to wake you up to what the Bible said. If I could show you what the Bible said, you'd scream and cry. You wouldn't let me finish this, sir. I got to ask one more time. There are others of you that are away from God. Put your hand up, say, preacher, pray for me. I need your prayer. Come on, keep raising them, keep raising them. Please raise them, please. I want every one of you to do something that raised your hand. If you really mean business, if you really want Jesus, I'm going to ask every one of you that raised your hand, while every head is bowed and every eye is closed and no one is looking, and the lights are low, I'm going to ask you, if you really meant business and you're not ashamed of God and you want Jesus and you want to leave with peace, ready to meet the Lord, I want every one of you that raised your hand, and I believe it's going to be 100%, to stand to your feet right now as I pray for you. I want everyone that raised your hand to stand to your feet as I pray for you right now. I believe it's going to be 100%. Come on, get up quickly, every one of you. Come on, Mother. Come on, Father. Keep standing, keep praying. Keep praying. They're standing all over the building. Keep praying. Keep standing in the balcony. Oh, there are others of you. Come on, sir. You say, I'm an intellectual. You may be the smartest, brilliant man in the world, but I just told you what the Bible said today. I know it's a little extreme type of message. It's been to wake you up. But someday you'll throw all that old pride away. You'll remember someday when the headlines read, when a pastor stood up and old Pastor Barnett begged you. You thought it was a sensationalism. But you just read what the Bible says and see if it lines up. Pray, Christians. Keep praying. Remain standing just a minute. There are others of you that need prayer. Quickly stand. Oh, please stand. Please stand. If there's any doubt about your soul whatsoever, stand. Stand. Remain standing as I pray. Oh, God. You see, there must be 50, 60 standing to their feet or more. But, oh, God, it's not enough to stand. It's not enough to weep. It's not even enough to believe. But I pray, God, that not one of these people shall walk out of this building until they know Jesus. Lord, any man with any intelligence could know that Jesus is coming. I heard a word Severide say on television recently, maybe the Bible thumpers have something. It's coming to pass like it said. Lord, help these people to realize right now that Jesus Christ is their hope. Satan, that would bind these people, I bind your power in Jesus' name. I command you to loose your hold. In Jesus' name, remain standing just a minute. Amen. And now, while you remain standing, I'm going to do one more thing. Please don't be seated, please. That's it, thank you. I'm going to see if you that stood to your feet really mean business. Would you like to leave with peace? Hey, would you like to know if the earth came to an end, if this whole world began to shake? Would you like to get in your car and head home, knowing if you die, you'd be ready to meet God? You can. And you will. If tonight you let Jesus come into your heart today, rather. While every head is bowed and no one is looking, I'm going to ask you to do one more thing. While every head is bowed, no one's looking, the lights are dim, I'm going to ask every one of you that are standing in just a minute to step out, to walk down this aisle, to kneel right here and let me pray a prayer with you and ask Jesus to come in. If you're ashamed of God, you won't do it, but if you want Jesus, if you care, I want every one of you that are standing to step out and come to this altar right now, and I believe it's going to be 100%. Come on, they're coming. Don't one of you sit back. Come on, sir. They're coming. Thank God. I don't see one sitting back. Thank God. Thank God. Here they come. Thank God they're coming. What an altar call. We'll just come and kneel right along the steps here.
Jesus came.
Praise God.
And you've been left.
There are others of you that need to come. Come on, sir. They're still coming. They're still coming. They're still coming. Come on out of the balcony, dear lady. Yes, they're coming. Thank God. I need some Christians now who know how to pray. I need some Christians that know how to pray. Those bus pastors may leave if they must now. Praise God. I want you to come and kneel behind him. One day too late. Don't run from God.
One day too late,
praise God.
Jesus came, and you've been left,
praise God,
behind to wait.
Every one of you that are here, just close your eyes and begin to call on God and ask Him to forgive you. He said that if you'd ask Him, He'd forgive you. They're still coming. God bless you, fellas. People, you pray hard. This is a move of God. What an altar call. Praise the Lord. Without anyone leaving, everyone stand with us together. In just a minute, not now, we're going to sing that song together one time, and then I must release you. Why don't you look beside you and invite your buddy to come with you? You'll say, I might make him mad. No, you won't. If he has any gratitude, he'll thank God that someone cares enough about him. Mother, why don't you bring the father down? Husband, why don't you bring your wife? Friend, why don't you bring your friend? Christian, why don't you turn to one beside you and tell him you'll come with him? You'll say, I might make them mad. No, you won't. If they have any gratitude, they'll thank God that someone cares enough to invite them. I believe they're going to come all over this building. Why don't whole families come? Mother, lead. Father, lead. Everybody sing it with them one more time as we sing it. What a move of God. You better run now before it's too late.
And you then
sing it with us.
Day to day, one day to late, Jesus came, and you've been left behind to wait.
They're still coming, thank God.
Yesterday,
come on, fella.
You couldn't find.
God's moving, they're still coming. Oh, hallelujah.
On your mind,
hallelujah.
He finally came to bring his name. One day too late.
We're going to sing in conclusion. Now listen to me just a minute. That song, Signs of the Time, are everywhere. And I'm going to leave this altar open. I tell you what I wish. I wish everyone here that knew that Jesus was going to come in 1 hour. I want you to do what you'd do if you knew He had an hour. I want you to do. These altars are open. You know, this morning, everyone in this church at the altar, I know we haven't got enough room for everyone. But I want you to even turn around in your seats if you will. If you got to go, fine. But you either come and fill here or kneel at your seat. I want you to dedicate yourself to work for Jesus. I want you to dedicate yourself to souls. Families, I want you to hug each other's neck. I feel if this sermon doesn't stir you, nothing will. I honestly believe that for some of you, it's either now or never if you don't weaken that old hard heart. This is it. So as we sing, I'm going to let you do what you want to do. The kids say your own thing. You kneel there. You can fill the front. But I think we ought to seek God. You visitors, this has been kind of a negative sermon. But you have to be negative sometime if you love people. Come on, say amen. You have to warn them of the things that have come tonight. Come back and we'll praise God. But we love you enough. Isn't this a great altar call? Everybody thanks God for it. Say a good amen.
Praise
the Lord. Sing Signs of the Time. And I want you to do what you do. If you have 1 hour, you'll say the roast is burning. Let it burn. Jesus may come any time. Hallelujah. Sing it, brother.
Signs of the time are everywhere.
The altars are open. For you that want to come, that are Christians, and call on God.
There's a
you that want to kneel at your seat, kneel. You that must go, turn around and shake hands with your friend. Tell them you love them. Smile at them. Tell them Jesus is coming soon. We haven't got long to see our loved ones. We're going to be seeing them soon. Hallelujah.
Lift up your head.
Redemption draws. Sing it loud and clear. Do what you feel out of God. And you're dismissed as you wish. Everyone, sing it.
Signs of the time are everywhere. There's a brand new feeling in the air. Keep your eyes upon the eastern sky.
He's coming soon. Oh, go your way praising God, you that must. The rest of you, crowd around the altar. Kneel at your seat. He's coming soon. Hallelujah.
He's coming soon with joy. We'll welcome His return. It may be morn. It may be night or noon. We know He's coming soon. He's coming soon. He's coming soon. With joy we'll welcome His returning. It may be morn, it may be night or noon. We know He's coming soon.
You people that have come to Jesus, just pray and talk to God. Tell Him everything. Tell Him you're sorry of your sins. We're in no hurry. Counselors, just pray with Him. Isn't this a great day? What a service God's given us this morning. One of the best altar calls we've had in a long time. We'll welcome His returning. It may be. We're going to be here to meet you if you have any questions.